good day. This is Krista Henry for CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. It's great to be with you. COVID-19 has impacted billions of lives around the globe since March of last year. During these unprecedented times, the role of nonprofit organizations has been key in combating the impact on our most vulnerable populations. As businesses grapple with adapting services, so too do nonprofits. I spoke with two local organizations to see how they have adapted, lessons learned, and key takeaways moving forward. First, you'll hear from Kim Wilhelm, Director of Development at the Food Bank of Waterloo Region. Kim, if you can just give us an overview, in a brief summary of kind of like what your services are and the people that you serve.
Definitely. So the Food Bank of Waterloo Region is a network of over 100 community programs and agency partners in Waterloo Region that we work with to make sure that those who need food assistance receive it. You know, 1 in 20 households in Waterloo Region received food assistance last year. We were able to distribute more than 5 million pounds of food to the community's food assistance network to make sure that those who needed food were able to get it.
Okay, that's awesome. And in the last year, I'm sure that the COVID-19 pandemic has had quite an impact. What has the last year been like for you?
Definitely. You know, the last year, you said it, it's been a year like no other. And we faced several unique challenges throughout the pandemic, from significant changes to our distribution methods to increased transportation to limited volunteer support. And we have learned so much about operating under emergency conditions and have found new ways to do things, including procuring new sources of food to supplement any chain supply distribution problems. We've also managed significant increases in our transportation needs and developed safer ways to distribute food to the community food assistance network, specifically while having to social distance. And we've learned these lessons, but we've also been able to use them in a plan to move forward for the future, which we're really excited about.
Okay. Can you go into any detail about some of the things that you've had to adapt in terms of like how are you guys managing with the social distances? How are people still able to come in and get your services?
Yeah, so every program at the food bank within the Community Food Assistance Network does operate slightly differently. But, you know, in the early days in March 2020, in response to COVID-19, we had to adjust our operations and we activated what we call the Community Food Assistance Network Pandemic Business Continuity Plan. It's a mouthful. But what it meant was we did this in collaboration with the Region of Waterloo Community Services and Public Health Departments to ensure that essential services continued to be offered to people who needed it in Waterloo Region. But it meant significant changes in our day-to-day operations. So such as we temporarily had to reduce the number of food distribution locations. We also had to pre-package hampers on site at the Food Bank of Waterloo Region, and that was something that we had never done before. But we also then had to increase the number of deliveries in the region because those who were still providing food assistance were doing so more often. We found that those who needed food assistance needed more food, and I'm sure that you know you experienced it as well, as did myself and my family. You know, our grocery store bills during that time seemed to be higher than ever. And some of the supplemental food that we were used to wasn't available. And the same can be said to those who needed food assistance. So we had to continually adapt. And, you know, one of the favorite things that we said at the food bank was, okay, let's see what the announcement is this morning, and we'll see what that means and how we're going to move forward. So it was just constantly changing and adapting. So since then, we've just, like I said, we've had to continually evolve to meet the community needs while managing an increase in need, as well as our normal day-to-day activities.
Okay. And did you see an increase in the need in the last year of people coming to your services?
What we did see was an increase of those who were coming to the food bank for the very first time. So new families who received food support. That's where we saw the biggest increase.
And in terms of your donations, I know I spoke to another NGO and they said one thing that they saw throughout the pandemic was people got kinder who were already kind and that their donations still increased throughout that time. Would you say the same?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can say that we by far live in such an amazing community here in Waterloo Region. And I spoke to so many people who called during that time and said, how can I help? And we had people come forward with donations of food, donations of funds so we could help fill the gaps in inventories. But then there were also people that brought us homemade masks and other PPE. And everybody just wanted to help and come together. And I've never seen a community come together like we have during COVID. I mean, you know, think about the cliche, but I'm not a huge fan of cliches, but the reality is we were all in this together. And everybody knew, well, you know, slightly differences in what we were having to deal with. We were all dealing with the same thing. And so we just came together and we were able to provide the support to those who needed it.
Awesome. It sounds like the community really rallied against with you guys as well. And now that you're reopening, what do your operations look like currently?
So when we activated the business continuity plan, as I had mentioned, a lot of programs closed down. And so we are going through a phase now where we are working with those programs to see what opening looks like for them and trying to set that up in an effective way. And that so that, though, like I said, those that need food assistance can get it. And they know where to go as those programs are reopening. So that's our priority right now, is we're working with partners to reopen.
Okay. And you mentioned some of the strategies that you implemented going forward during the pandemic. So going forward, are any of these going to remain? Are there any lessons that you guys have learned that can just help your business and help the organization, you know, go into the next phase of whatever is to come?
Absolutely. I think that the biggest change has been how our transportation has changed moving forward and how we're delivering food to our agency partners in our refrigerated trucks. You know, food safety is the utmost important to us. And so one of the things that we've changed is that we are doing all deliveries to our programs, and programs are no longer coming to the food bank to pick up food. And so that is one of the things that we're really, we're actually really proud of how we've been able to adapt to the transportation. But it has been, it's been a challenge over time.
And for those who are listening who might want to support, what are the ways that they can help you and what is it that you need right now?
Absolutely. So right now, the easiest way to help is through a financial donation, because financial donations, they allow us to fill gaps in our inventory and respond to the community in a timely manner. But definitely, you know, a lot of grocery stores are still collecting food donations. And so if you are out and you're able to, you can donate food, but also through a food and fund drive. We encourage community groups, corporate groups, family groups to come together and organize a food and fund drive. And you can do that through our website at thefoodbank.ca.
And what about in terms of actual volunteers? I imagine that you usually do operate with the help of a lot of volunteers that might have actually slowed down a bit during the pandemic. Are you guys still asking for help in that way?
It absolutely did. And we are asking anyone who is able to volunteer to put an application in through our website at thefoodbank.ca as well. And you can navigate to the volunteer menu on that to walk you through, because absolutely, volunteers are also the core of what we do. And we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do without volunteers. You know, we have a steady stream of volunteers that come into our warehouse every day to help sort the food and get it ready to ship out to our agencies. But we also have volunteers that help in other ways, maybe administration at in our office, or hopefully when we're able to get back out at some community events.
And are there any trends that you saw during the pandemic in terms of what's going on with the need in your services or anything in particular?
I mean, one of the largest, we talked about the new households that received food assistance earlier, but we also saw almost a 300% increase in individuals who called our food assistance referral line because they weren't sure where to go for food. And so we were so thrilled that we were able to have that food assistance referral line available for people to help navigate the system and let them know where they can go for food.
And is there anything in the last year that you saw or witnessed, or any story that you can share, even from a staff member who maybe did something incredible during that time, that you could share with us?
Goodness, that's a hard one, because the reality is there were so many. But some of the ones that, you know, I don't want to call anyone out because, like I said, there were so many. But the ones that especially touched my heart were ones where families and children got together to support the Food Bank of Waterloo Region. And it was done, you know, within the household. And they really got together because, you know, one individual especially, I was talking to her mom, and every day at dinner, they would have a conversation about, you know, those in the community who needed food assistance. And as a family, they were very fortunate to be having a wonderful meal at the table. But what about those that didn't? And really helping the children understand those that were struggling to put food on the table. And she said, you know, they came together and they actually, every day, they collected a box of food and they put it together and they brought it to the Food Bank of Waterloo Region. And I'm excited because after the pandemic, I'm going to be able to have that same family back to actually give them a tour of the food bank and let them know exactly what happened to their food after they donated it. So that conversation with the mom and then meeting the little girl was really, really special. And I have no doubt that she is going to go out and do great things in this world as she's older.
Well, thank you very much for sharing, Kim. That's a really heartwarming story. And for anyone who's listening, I hope that you can also take a message from this and do similar. So thank you for joining us, Kim. And hopefully after this, you'll be getting a lot more donations as well.
Thanks very much.
That was Kim Wilhelm, Director of Development at the Food Bank of Waterloo Region. On the other spectrum of giving is the Wilmot Family Resource Center. The Resource Center has been the leading provider of social services to low-income and food-insecure families and individuals in Wilmot and Wesley townships. Speaking today is Tricia Robinson, the center's executive director. We're here with Tricia from the Wilmot Family Resource Center. Tricia, if you can just tell us a little bit first about what your organization does and a little bit of the people that you serve.
We are a multi-service charitable organization serving Wilmot Township and the southern part of Wellesley Township. We work on a hub model. We do wraparound trauma-informed care. You name it, and we pretty much do it, or refer people to other places that can do it. So we do food support, family violence prevention early on, youth programming, summer camps, employment services for people experiencing living with low income, like free clothing, free income tax service, backpacks. We have a backpack program. We help people find housing, and we have housing information and applications from the region. We do Indigenous supports. We do mental health supports, parenting supports, special events, holiday hampers, and holiday dinners. So people can reach out to us, and there's no wrong door. We do in-service referrals to make sure people get what they need. And if we can't service people, we will try to get the information and refer them to the right place.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. What we're talking about today, I know the last 15 months of the pandemic has affected a lot of businesses and a lot of industries. So I kind of just want to see what the last year has been for nonprofits like yourself.
Yeah, you know, every day was different. And we have moved the furniture and changed offices so much in our agency. People come in and don't recognize it anymore. And I think because we're in it and we just do those things day to day that we don't even notice how different it looks. So early on in the pandemic, you know, we sat together as a team and decided, okay, so, you know, what's really important for our community right now. And so we concentrated on our food support services, our, you know, income tax services, and our family violence and mental health supports, because we felt that's really where we needed to focus our attention. And a lot of our services, we had to think of creative ways, like our food support services. We did a contactless porch pickup. We did deliveries. We were able to purchase a van that we had started that grant before and started that in works, but it just escalated. And we were able to do the purchase of the van really early on, and it's really helped us out to do deliveries. And family violence, some people, women just showed up at our door sometimes, and we needed to have them come in and do face-to-face. So technology. So we relied heavily on technology. We increased our Zoom account. Some of our staff team had never been on Zoom before, so now we're all expert at it. We were able to buy a smart board and use that for some team meetings also. Some of our team worked at home, others were, because we're doing direct service in the office, we're all back now. We purchased more cell phones for the for our staff members. One of the areas that is key and continues to be key that we realized was communication. So that became really important.
Okay, and you mentioned women like showing up on your doorstep and having to buy this van to go around and do like food deliveries. Did you see an increase in need in the community during the last 15 months?
Yes. So with our food support programs, I'm sure we doubled the amount of people we're serving and the amount of need, which we expected. What we didn't expect and were not prepared for, and naively at the beginning of the pandemic, was the isolation that people were feeling and the mental health repercussions. And so we continue to deal with that. And so one of the things we did put in place was a wellness call. We had a script. Our registered psychotherapist helped us with that. So there were some red flags in there, some key questions that that staff could pay attention to if we thought there were some safety issues for women if people were needing some more mental health support. So we went through all of our clients, all of our people using Food Bank, all of the people using our mental health or early on, all of those groups, and we put a call list together and we all got on the phone and started just checking in with everybody. And then we're still doing some of those calls, but I think it helped us too to have contact, so we didn't feel disconnected from our people.
And you mentioned opportunities. Is there anything that you guys have taken away or anything that you've adapted that you plan to keep doing, even if hopefully this pandemic ends soon?
You know, I think there's been lots of opportunities. There are lots of our community has been incredible throughout this pandemic. They have reached out, they have supported each other. And I think we all have seen the importance of relationships and community and being together. So one of the opportunities is that I think people really realized what was important in their lives. And I heard so many times, even around, you know, the holiday time, people saying, you know, I'm sad that I can't spend time with my family, but I really like that my life isn't so busy right now. And I don't have to worry about, you know, preparing meals or visiting. I just get to be at home and spend time with my family and my kids.
Is there any story that you can recount that really made you feel good or connected to the work that you're doing?
Yeah, there would be tons of stories. And I just want to say what an incredible staff team we have, and also our board of directors, because it's the team that made it work. You know, they worked incredible hours. They had to do things that they had never done before, and just willing to pitch in wherever. We had someone come in to the agency to donate some money because it was her birthday and she was turning 80 years old and she was alone. And she said she would have taken that money and she would have taken her family out, but because she was alone, she wanted to bring it to us. And for us to share it with other people who needed food. And that was such a touching moment that somebody, you know, in their isolation and probably a bit of grief was wanting to pass that on to someone else. So
that's an amazing story. And now that we're in phase three, are you guys completely open to all your services, or are you slowly phasing stuff back in?
So we're working on opening again. Like I said, the office has changed, and you know, there's stuff piled up and moved because we did so much work. And you know, like early on, we delivered I think over 300 craft kits to families. We're still doing some craft kits. We're still doing these deliveries. So we just have to pack up some of those areas so we can get in person fully going. So we're looking forward to that. Yeah. We've missed everybody. Sometimes I just stand at my window and I know the other staff do and just wave at people going by. So it's just, it's been a long time and it's been hard on everybody.
Thank you, Tricia, for your insights. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archive versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. My name is Krista Henry.